how did you learn that the official offer had been made to the governor and that you would become the next governor?
Well, the chief of staff, Michael Boozlow, was kind of keeping us informed. I had limited access to, honestly, I couldn't get phone calls or take or call out, so I had some email and was able to get some text. It was kind of funny. Kevin and I was in, we were in the room, and he said, "Kim, get in here." The Chris and the governor were actually in the elevator going up, so he had Fox News on, so we got to see them from Cabo heading upstairs to meet with President-elect Trump. So that was kind of cute to see that happen. And then anyway, they sent back and said the meeting went really well, and we would be looking at, you know, would probably be seeing yes, would be saying yes, and then we were going to look at a timeline, and then the next thing we knew was it going tomorrow, you know, so then they let me know that it was going to go public. They were going to do the press release, so.
Do you know a timeline for when the transition of power may happen?
No, we don't. So, you know, the governor is still the governor until, you know, President-elect Trump isn't inaugurated until January 20th, and then we'll start to work through. We'll be putting a process in place between now and then, of course, and kind of an outline of how that transition will take place. We're looking at what's happened in Iowa and other states, but we have some time to really implement that, and so we'll be forthcoming with more details soon.
How would you describe your working relationship with the governor?
Well, we have an excellent working relationship. He truly is a mentor and a friend, and I've been very, very blessed to have the opportunity to serve with him. I've been very involved in the Lieutenant Governors Association, past chair for NLGA, and serve, you know, on the executive board with Republican Lieutenant Governors. And I can tell you that not a lot of Lieutenant Governors have the opportunity to really be recognized as a full partner. And so that's not been lost on me, the opportunity that I've had. And when he asked me to run Kay, he said, "We're going to run as a team and serve as a team." And he really has been true to his word, and I appreciate it.
As a full partner, does that mean when you become the governor that his agenda is your agenda, or will you be tweaking?
Well, first of all, he still is the governor. So we're putting the program together right now, and he will deliver the condition of the state on the second day of the legislative session. He'll be presenting a budget at that point. We're working on the program right now, putting that together. So nothing has really changed from the previous years. And once he, you know, assumes he's confirmed by the United States Senate as the next ambassador to China, then at that point we'll take a look at, you know, where we're at and move forward from there. But we've got time to do that also.
I understand there are a number of nervous department heads because their terms are up because, you know, they're four-year terms. What, are you meeting with people in state government to talk about what may be the future under a Reynolds administration?
Well, it's just the second day, so I know, not yet. And, you know, again, when we select individuals to serve as the director of the various agencies, I've been in on all of those, and so able to ask questions and able to suggest recommendations of somebody that I think would be excellent to serve in that capacity. And so I've been very involved in all of that process, and so that's, you know, I've been able to weigh in on the existing directors, and we have had a phenomenal team, and no one individual does this alone. You know, you set a broad vision, you set four aspirational goals, and then you give them the flexibility and the latitude to implement them, and that drives innovation, that drives, you know, them really thinking outside of the box and looking for different ways that they can help us accomplish the goals. And gosh, I've seen that in almost every single agency, so I'm really excited about the team that we've put together, and they've done a great job.
You told WI when you got off the plane at whatever, 10:30, that you were prepared.
Yep.
If you could expand on that a little bit, what do you think about your life experience has prepared you to be governor?
Well, a couple things, really. You know, first of all, the bulk of my career, as you know, has been at the low. I started in the private sector. I worked for a small business. I was a Hy-Vee checker. I worked for a pharmacy, a small pharmacy in Mount Pleasant, where I was a pharmacy tech, and got to see the challenges that he faced as a small business owner and the impact that he had by not only hiring me, but hiring individuals in the area. Then I served at the local level, so I served 14 years as a county treasurer and then 19 in the office, had the opportunity to understand the impact that the legislature has on local government, vice versa. Then I had the opportunity to run for the state senate and was fortunate enough to be elected. I served as the largest geographical senate district in the state, Senate District 48, seven counties, south central, southwest Iowa, very rural part of the state that has had some significant challenges. So I am passionate about working with rural Iowa and looking for opportunities and barriers that are maybe in place that are preventing them from being successful and growing. And that's how we're really truly going to succeed as a state, when we have opportunities for Iowans in every single corner, no matter where they live. And so I've had local, state, and now from the executive branch to see really how that all works together. And then to have the opportunity over the last 6 years to put a budget together, to see what it's like to sit down on day one from when we ran in 10 and took office in 11, facing a projected $900 million deficit, and how important it is to know the budget and to understand that sometimes you have to make the tough decisions that need to be made. And honestly, because of those decisions that were made, that's why we were able to implement the largest tax cut in the history, because we were able to backfill, again, local communities. We had not been able to do that before because the money wasn't there to invest in one of our top priorities, which was education, and that's $150 million of new money that we put into really transforming education. STEM, passionate about that. So I think I've been involved in the judicial appointments, boards and commissions, the day-to-day, traveled to all 99 counties. I've led trade missions every year. 6 months on the job, he turned to me and said, "We're still in session. There's flooding going on the western side of the state, and I need you to lead the trade mission. I need to stay in the state." And I did.
That was to China or South Korea?
It was to China and South Korea. Yeah, there was one of the largest delegations that they'd had in a long time. And we had 40 people, I think, on the trip. And I said, okay. And it went really well, but I appreciated him putting the confidence in me and having the confidence in me to say, "You need to go lead this. I need to stay in the state." And that's what you do as a lieutenant governor, right? You are prepared to step in case something would happen.
You will be Iowa's first female governor. What does that mean to you, and what do you think it means to the state of Iowa?
Well, I'm really proud to have the opportunity to be a part of history and to be a part of that. I'm really proud of where our state has been. If you take a look at Joni Ernst in the last election, being the first woman to serve in Congress, a combat veteran, let alone Mary Mosman, first woman state auditor, Linda Upmeyer, first woman speaker of the House, Mary Kramer, we can go back that far. I believe she was the first woman president of the Senate. And so we have probably the majority of our department heads are very strong, passionate women, and so I'm very proud of that. And what I like to say is, although I'm proud of that, what I'm most proud of is I think all of them, it was not really about gender, but it was about a passion to serve and to make a difference. And that's what I think is reflected in every one of the individuals that I just named, and that's what I think is really important. So kind of as a side bonus, though, young girls in the state have some wonderful role models.
You mentioned being a team player. The governor often mentions that you were a star basketball player. but as a leader, how do you build a team, and how do you intend to do so as the state's governor?
Well, much like we've done, you know, as we travel the state, they're not all right here. They're all over the state. We've got great talent, great individuals that are making a difference in various industry and business and community service, whatever that may look like. And so as you travel the state, I think you need to be always conscientious of talent and building relationships, not only maybe for serving in an administration, but if you're working on an issue or a policy, just their expertise and a resource that you can reach out to and get some feedback. You know, that's my best. We get so much more out of traveling the state just by listening and seeing and saying, here's what we're doing, where are we hitting the mark, where are we not, what do we need to be doing differently. It's really, really very beneficial to have the opportunity to do that and to listen. And I think that's a really important part of being a good leader also, is to listen.
Governor Branstad took a leadership role in the Iowa Republican Party, in some respects remade it with his people. What are your thoughts in regards to the direction you'd like to see the Iowa Republican Party move? Because you'll become the top Republican office holder in the state.
Well, I think we just need to keep reaching out like we have and keep building the party. And I think we, you know, we had a record number of participation in the caucus. The number of registered Republicans are growing daily. And I think with the election of Trump, we have an opportunity to really reach out and build the party and be successful. You know, I was at the rally last night, and really there was just a sense of optimism there and a feeling that they were being heard and listened to. And I believe Iowans just want the opportunity to succeed and to have a great career, and they really want us. They love the state. They love being here, but they want an opportunity to have a career and to take care of their family, and that's really been our priorities too. And so I think we have a real opportunity to continue to grow the party and to follow through with what we talked about. So I think that's going to be really important. People are watching. They're optimistic, but I also know that they can have, you know, short, you know, not a lot of patience, and so we have an opportunity here, and I think that we really need to build on it.
Sometimes people talk about trickle-down economics. There's also trickle-down politics. So what about the Trump agenda that he's laid out for the country? Do you think will influence state-level politics over the next year at the least?
Well, the one thing that I'm most excited about, I think, is it's going to be nice to have a partner in Washington, D.C., or at least somebody that's going to get out of our business. And I believe that they'll take a look at, you know, Governor Pence or Vice President-elect Pence has already indicated this, as well as President-elect Trump, that this is the laboratories of democracy as the states, and to give us the opportunity to have some flexibility with a lot of these programs, whether it's whatever form of Obamacare looks like, whether it's Medicaid, just education, a lot of opportunities to transportation, to provide block grants back to the states. No two states are the same. We know our state and the individuals, and I think to have the flexibility with the accountability, of course, is really important, and I think that's an opportunity for us to really take Iowa to the next level. But, you know, my gosh, we were fighting, whether it was Waters of the U.S., the overtime rule, the RFS, multiple issues that hopefully can be somewhat eliminated with this new administration. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity. He really ran on the economy. He ran on, you know, a safe and secure America, giving workers the opportunity to succeed and to make America great again. And, boy, they're optimistic about that.
Let's talk a bit about the transition to come. There's been some discussion about whether you'll be the governor or the acting governor. Isn't Iowa's constitution drafted in the same way that the U.S. Constitution is? So when the president is no longer able or is no longer serving, the vice president becomes the president?
Yeah, and I will become the governor. And much like history has provided, I will assume the role of governor when the governor is confirmed to be the ambassador to China.
Who are you considering as a lieutenant governor?
Well, I'm not ready to share that list right now, but I'm going to really reach out, and I've got a lot of individuals in mind. I want to sit down and talk to them, and I will continue the same. I like the partnership role. I will continue that. I think that's beneficial to Iowans. It's beneficial for the consistency and continuity of government to have a lieutenant governor that really understands the role and what the administration, the executive branch, what the responsibilities are. So I will continue that same structure, and I'm looking forward to sitting down with individuals and finding somebody that there's a good chemistry. Governor Branson and I have a really good chemistry. We're a lot alike, and I feel comfortable if, you know, there's something that we might not necessarily agree on. That's rarely the case, but, you know, there are. So we'll take time. I'll take my time and sit down with various individuals and then put a short list together, and we'll go from there.
Have you thought about the moment when you take the oath? Do you have plans for that? I assume there will not be an inaugural ceremony.
No, no.
It will just be something in this particular office.
Yeah, and they're working on that right now. So, you know, all of those details will be forthcoming. They're looking at what's happened historically, what other states are doing. And so we'll be providing those details, and we will have a great transition plan in place. We've got kind of a skeleton of it right now, but there'll be more details coming in that regard.
How young is your youngest grandchild?
9 months.
So I assume you didn't explain this to the youngest, but how did you explain it to your family?
Well, I, you know, was kind of, you know, I wasn't really expecting it. So I just kind of like, you're not going to believe this. But you know, Governor Branstad is, you know, he's been offered the ambassadorship to China. And you know, we did the whole thing. I'm so excited for him. What an honor. I cannot think of a more prepared individual to do that. He is the right person for the job. Iowa is so fortunate, and the nation really, to have him be considered for this role. And your mom is going to step in and be the next governor of the state of Iowa. So, and I'm excited about that, and just talked a little bit about what that entails.
And you were with the whole family when this happened.
No, I wasn't. I don't
wasn't
know.
A family vacation.
No, it was just Kevin and I. So, you know, this is how this started, though. The kids, when Kevin and I, for our 25th anniversary, they actually surprised us with a trip down there. And so we really, really liked it. So we scheduled this a year ago. I mean, like January and January. So that's been scheduled for a long time. So it's kind of a nice place for us to get away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Finally, obviously, will you run for the governorship in 2018?
Well, you know, honestly, right now we're preparing for the legislative session and really putting our program together and looking for ways that we can continue building on what we've done. And my goal is to be a part of that for a long, long time.